top of the news this evening is speculation concerning the real facts behind the Department of Health announcement about a radioactive spill supposed to have occurred yesterday at the state nuclear plant.
You will die, only to live again in a younger body. Then you can tell me if the operation was a success. I could easily kill you now, but I'm determined to have your brain.
You're listening to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of genre cinema.
America, a sea of violence and bloodshed. We need to offer a real outlet for those dark impulses.
We combed the planet looking for just the right people to appear on No Exit. My recruiters work 24 hours a day. Very persuasive. But we provide superior entertainment value. Always to the death, we guarantee.
His name is John Stoneman.
You hold 3/10 degree black belts, don't you?
Certainly indicates potential.
A gang attacked his wife. He saved her. He killed one of the attackers and put two on the critical list.
Stoneman, you beat those thugs pretty badly. The kind of training you have must be very effective. Why don't you tell us about it?
Bring him to me, Mr. Tabak.
Put the fucking gun down!
It's another thing to be truly provoked. I wanted to kill those people.
Hey, John.
We got him.
How was he?
Strong, fast, an excellent choice, sir. He'll make a fine competitor.
Dystopian gladiatorial combat for the masses through the Canadian, yes, Canadian action film No Exit, aka Fatal Combat, starring a local martial arts expert and former star of the popular, I think in a way, TV series Police Procedural Night Heat, Jeff Wincott. Now, as opposed to your standard Kumite-type tournament movie, which are more clandestine and require sort of fixers to find out about, the broad gladiatorial combat-type film, these types of things are usually set in a dystopian post-industrial hellscape wherein this is what passes for entertainment and is unabashedly for the masses. So when you think this type of movie, you have this Svengali, who is this media mogul who is behind this kind of what passes for entertainment in the future, which is pretty funny because this is the kind of thing that passes for entertainment now, in effect. And there's a pretty famous debate where you have Lou DiBella, the boxing promoter of DiBella Entertainment, debating Joe Rogan on mainstream television about whether mixed martial arts actually constitutes cockfighting. And DiBella comes from the old school of boxing, which is one of mankind's oldest sports and dates back thousands of years. And DiBella has the nerve to call mixed martial arts cockfighting when in reality both sports, both MMA and boxing, are basically the same and are a celebration of our basest instincts and our worst, you could say, although I'm a fan of both, our worst impulses as humans. And you see this kind of motif running through the likes of A Death Race, A Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Hunt to Kill, Stone Cold Steve Austin, of course, Battle Royale, and upon which The Hunger Games was very, very, very heavily based. And most recently, of course, when you have this corporate overlord responsible for this entertainment for the masses, this mass violent Bloodsport type thing, although not actually the movie Bloodsport, which is in the Kumite style vein, but Squid Game, of course, has thrust this kind of conceit back into the public consciousness as well. And so it's kind of funny when I came across Fatal Combat, which is two words that when you hear them in the same context of an action movie, you know you're really in for a good time. I was unaware this is a Canadian production, but was soon tipped off when I noticed an art gallery that's about a 10-minute walk from my apartment here in just west of downtown Toronto. And it's the Museum of Contemporary Art, which is formerly a 1920s Ford plant that they converted into this beautiful art gallery space. And I saw that and I thought, oh my God, Canada, it should be said, is not exactly a wellspring of action film entertainment. Obviously, in the tax shelter era, well, maybe it's not obvious for maybe fans of this show or new listeners, but there are so many films that were launched in due to government funding in the 80s that really put horror on the map. And Jeff Wincott, the star of No Exit, a.k.a. Fatal Combat, was in Prom Night, actually, in a bit part. And Prom Night, of course, is a Canadian horror film, as is Happy Birthday to Me, and The Changeling, and Rabid, and the list goes on and on of the popular Canadian efforts that were lensed here and came to prominence and caused a public backlash as to the funding of these films. That's how, actually, David Cronenberg got his start in this tax shelter era. Now, I wasn't sure that kind of exploitation-type funding of film extended to genres beyond the horror space, but apparently it did. And this is a very cheap and cheerful movie. And I think generally you can say for movies that come out of Canada, not so much today now with Brandon Cronenberg and all these other directors, that the Soska sisters and American Mary and all types of modern horrors, but for the time, we're talking the 90s here, there's something about Canadian films that they had to make themselves stand out. And I think this was the same in the tax shelter era too. So with a movie like Pin, it's based on a dummy that's used by medical professionals. And that one is way smarter than it has any right to be for just a kind of a schlocky horror film. And similarly, a film just north of here is a film called The Brain, in which this Svengali sends out these signals to try and convert people into his cult. And it's a strange, crazy movie. But what a lot of these has in common, and what No Exit does as well, is they're very kind of subversive and kind of talky and kind of smarter than they have any business being when you think about it. Hunt to Kill, by contrast, is a Stone Cold Steve Austin vehicle that follows the standard gladiatorial combat on a TV show format, and there's a bunch of disparate people brought in from all over the world, and basically mirroring all any kind of American stereotype you would have about all the different combatants, and you know, the hot-headed Italian, for example, or whatever. It just as playing to cultural norms and cultural stereotypes of the different participants in these games. And you know, there's a lot of commonality and a lot of things that underpin these types of films. Most notably, of course, you have to have your media mogul who's evil and oversees everything, but you also have something by which you have to compel the combatants to actually want to fight to the death. In the case of Battle Royale, I think it's an explosive device, so that's set to go off, and so it's basically got this timing conceit to drive the narrative, and they have a certain amount of time to get to a certain place. You could also throw Gymkhana in there too. So you have a race, and then if you don't participate in either, you know, competing with your fellow combatants, you are just going to get killed. But that is a common trope, that if you turn pacifist and turn Amish, then you're not going to be long for this world, and you are going to be done, funzo dunzo. And in the case of all these films too, the combatants are obviously unwilling not only to fight while they're there, but unwilling to be brought into the proceedings. There are very few volunteers for these kinds of things. So in the case of Running Man, in the case of Hunt to Kill, in the case of No Exit and Fatal Combat here, you have people who are effectively kidnapped and drawn into this blood sport scene, and very much against their will. And there's always a scene in these kinds of films where they basically give up and relent and say, "You're going to have to kill me, I'm not going to participate." And then they say, "Very well." And this one's super fun too, because speaking to the sort of more cerebral elements of this being a Canadian film, which I think knows what it's all about and actually has aspirations of being more than what it is. So you have this Professor Stoneman, who's an ethics professor of all things. So talk about weaving something unique into the proceedings, because obviously the ethics and morality of this kind of public bloodletting spectacle is definitely questionable and difficult to justify at best. And so he actually conducts himself in this local university in a very unique way, where he calls out one of his students and basically abuses him with anti-Semitic remarks to try and get him to break and try and get him to snap, and then concedes that it's just a teaching technique. But this is the kind of thing that would not fly now, that's for sure, using a four-letter word that starts with K that we all know that we can't repeat. But it's kind of funny, that his teaching methods are such that he conducts himself, comports himself in ways that would never fly and maybe shouldn't ever have flown in any capacity. But he's a teacher, Professor Stoneman. He's going to be soon to be a dad. And his wife gets attacked by goons, and he has to come and save her, but it's a little too late to actually save the baby. So in many respects, you have the different things working at play, where you have the morality of the chief protagonist and his conduct in one of these blood sport-type games, and his constant questioning thereof. And which is neat, because this, you could easily just be a lunk-headed, revenge-style, Death Wish-style movie, because this is similarly lensed to that scene where you have the Paul Kersey characters, whose wife is brutally attacked. Similarly, you have here an underground parking garage, and you have this woman being menaced and tormented, and Professor Stoneman to the rescue, and Jeff Wincott's an unbelievable guy. If you go on YouTube, you can see videos featuring the Toronto Tornado. It was kind of cool. I wasn't even aware to the extent how popular he was. And he's in this sort of second tier of action stars that obviously can't hold much of a candle to the likes of your more popular The Rock or Jason Statham or Steven Seagal or JCVD or whatever. But, you know, Jeff Speakman, these kinds of secondary figures. You throw in Gary Daniels and Olivia Grunier as well, but these kind of secondary characters who frequently and strangely have martial arts bona fides that top their more better-known marquee dominating brethren. And not always the case. Obviously, JCVD, Chuck Norris, Steven Seagal, their martial arts bona fides cannot be questioned. But for the likes of Statham, The Rock, etc., I mean, they don't really come with any combat background. Maybe a little bit of boxing, a little bit of wrestling, but that's resolutely not the case with the kind of B-level guys we're talking. And Wincott is great. Like, he's a commanding presence, a lot of glowering, his martial arts technique is off the charts, really, really cool stuff. When he's competing in the competition, which involves various electrocutions and fights to the death, he's constantly not only questioning his own morality and ethics of being an active participant in the kind of proceedings, but also doing a tete-a-tete with the mogul and the media mogul who is actually broadcasting this blood sport over the airwaves. And apparently in this game, it's actually called No Exit, the game, which it's slightly underwhelming to say the least, but this is a post-industrial apocalyptic wasteland, but this is the entertainment that is brought into the forefront what I guess Marshall McLuhan called the global village, or the unifying force of, you know, Thomas Friedman, flattening of the globe. The world is flat, and this is something that draws eyeballs from across the continent. So it's not across multiple continents. So it's not something that's just really going over big in the United States or anywhere else. This is a world in the future where this is what passes for entertainment. And what's pretty cool too about this is there's a evil combatant. And he's the one who's basically kept alive because he's popular with the fan base. And he's basically a ratings tool. And that's this, I believe he's maybe a Danish strongman, aren't they all? Yeah, it is. Sven Ole Thorsen, who is this like behemoth, 6'4", 6'5", strongman who basically manhandles the rest of the combatants. And of course, it's up to Professor Stoneman. And one of his better students, who's a Samuels, who's also kidnapped to take part in this tournament because they've been scouted by the producers, as is often the case in these schlocky gladiatorial TV movies, that you have the producers go out and see what would make a good story. And it's funny, too, because there are little continuity errors in this film where they I guess, go and kidnap a Chicago Bears football player. In one instance, they refer to him as a wide receiver. In another instance, they refer to him as a linebacker. Now, if you know anything about American football, you know that if you're going to have a fight-to-the-death type sport, you're far better off having a menacing linebacker whose job it is to take people's head off, basically, and tackle them and knock their blocks off than it would be for some wide receiver who's typically fleet of foot and not particularly too tall or menacing, but is mostly known for their speed and power and ability to run rather than them tackling ability. So minor quibbles, but it's just funny to see like a 1995 production lens basically right around the corner from my place, right where my son was born here in the west end of Toronto. So there's exterior shots of the hospital, but then there's also shots of, you know, public domain. I don't know where they might have sourced this footage, but apparently this No Exit game show is held in the far north in the Arctic tundra, you know, in the northern part of Canada. And it's just funny. It just fills you with a lot of pride just because of how talky and clever and whip smart it is. I mean, you have this Professor Stoneman taking the media mogul to task over his sophistry, and you don't hear the term sophistry used too often in your standard lunk-headed, dunder-headed action film, particularly of this subset of the variety of action films that are gladiatorial in nature and meant to be beamed out to the masses as their form of entertainment. Anyway, this one's super fun. There's great scenes where the media mogul is actually ironically into Buddhism and has these very protracted scenes where he's sitting there surrounded by candles and trying to achieve a state of peace and tranquility. And I guess that's how he comes to terms of being an evil, basically money grubber who is operating this very, very dubious enterprise on, you know, this enterprise that's lensed in the Arctic Circle. And of course, Jeff Wincott is doing all sorts of katas and doing all sorts of exercises. And you have these training montages, because what would an action movie be without a training montage? And he instructs his fellow combatants, the ones he's befriended anyway, on how to achieve more inner peace, and but also technique as well, how to throw your punches and breathing techniques to better hook like a hooker, as they say in boxing, although not that kind of hooker. Anyway, No Exit, 1995, super fun, great time waster on a rainy day. You know, I'm gonna give this 3 spinning back fists out of a possible 5, and I think you'll enjoy it too. It's always warms my heart to see that Canada being known for something other than the horror sphere and those types of movies that really put us on the map at the time, the ones that I've come to know and love, like a Death Weekend or Pin or Prom Night or Happy Birthday to Me, or the list goes on and on and on. The Fly, wonderful to see, and it's a shame more action films weren't lensed here, but there are a few, and I'll be tracking some of them down. Hope you enjoyed the show.
Action movies rule. It's because when action directors yell action, they really mean it. There's action. If you're a fan of ass-kicking action films,
you and me, we know so different.
Whether it's the absolutely thrilling one-liners.
Hey, here's a quarter. Buy yourself a personality.
You're a funny guy, Sully. That's why I'm going to kill you last.
The interesting gender politics.
Believe that all the crimes have been committed by a lone assailant. There's a high probability that assailant is a woman.
And the even more interesting plot lines.
An army of international terrorists has landed. Only one man stands in their way.
They're always wickedly entertaining. If you love action movies like we do, you'll love our book, Mine's Bigger Than Yours, The 100 Wackiest Action Movies. Buy a copy, and we won't be forced to commandeer a chopper and hunt you down with a bunch of ex-Special Forces ops. Thanks.